We're reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Taking this study of a sad case in the Bible, a man called Lot, family member of Abraham. I've entitled this, the theme of this study, Watch Where You Pitch Your Tent. Verse 12 of chapter 13. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The character and careers of Abraham and Lot are set in sharp contrast to each other. Abraham, we're told in the Bible, walked by faith. The difference is, we're told very clearly in this passage, Lot walked by sight. Abraham was a generous man. Lot was greedy. The Bible says in the Hebrews that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. But Lot, he looked for a city where he was made by man, where he could make money. He was looking for a city made by man that was destroyed by God. What a difference between the two of man. The history of Lot is a tragic one. And for that reason, there's a lesson for all of us to learn, the difference between walking by faith and walking by sight. Notice Lot's choice in verses 10 and 11 of that same chapter 13. Lot lifted his eyes. This is what I said, he walked by sight. And he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Therefore, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. What does Lot choose? He chooses the well-watered plains of Jordan. Why does he choose it? It says it looked like the land of Egypt. Notice he hadn't gotten Egypt out of his heart. And how sad is that? Because how had they lived in Egypt? Like slaves, building blocks and bricks. They didn't live like kings in Egypt. Yes.
Pastor John, I had heard that you could take the person out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of the person.
Well, that's a good saying. You can't take Egypt out of that person. He chose the plain because it was near several large cities. Now, it's quite obvious why he chose the city. It was the center of commerce. It was a place where you could make a fast buck. Isn't that why most people come to the city? I know my mother, she lived in a little farm outside of St. Louis, just across the river. She left the farm to come to the big city of St. Louis. Well, she would have been better off staying on the farm. Study the history of cities in the Bible and you find they've always been centers of evil. They always will be until the Lord comes down from the heavens. God didn't start man in a city, did he?
Nope.
Where did he start him?
Garden.
And he started him in the garden. Isn't it interesting enough? When man finishes building his wonderful big city, with all the flourishes of steel and glass and all the rest that goes with that, what's the first thing that he does? He buys a camper and heads out for the woods. to find a place. I know, because I just came back from a place like that. I'm telling you, when I landed in Athens, Georgia, outside of that city, in Colbert is literally the town, Colbert, Georgia, and drove, those gates opened, and I drove into Beaver Dam Farm. I've never seen more, something more beautiful, something more relaxing, something that you didn't even want to leave when you're on there. I mean, Wendy, the madam of the estate. Now, she sits on the board of where Pastor Morris and I had the joy of having a luncheon, right? She sits on that board. She sits on the board of Outback, Bonefish, Carrabba's, and that big steakhouse in Tampa. She's on that corporate board. And I was with Wendy this week, and she cooked me my meals and just takes, in fact, as she fixed up a dozen eggs, her hands, she knew I liked, I told her how what I like really the fresh eggs, and I told her about the little farm next to Grace Baptist Church where I used to get those fresh eggs from. So she would bring in two or three fresh eggs every morning so that for me, you know, just nobody else got them, just me. And when I left yesterday morning, a dozen fresh eggs put on ice by Wendy for me. And she's the sweetest thing. She's the humblest, sweetest little thing you ever. She goes out and feeds the chickens, the turkeys, and she's got a donkey. I mean, a pet deer. I mean, all of these wonderful little things, and she just takes care of it. It's life that relaxes, and she's found the joy of living simply, no matter what her status in life really is. So that's what man longs for. Here she is, been, you know, CFO of major corporations, but now she wouldn't leave that farm for anything. But why does Lot look for a big city for his own selfish advantage? This is what he makes, is his own selfish choice. Notice carefully what the verse says, however. It says he pitched his tent toward Sodom or near Sodom. Why not within Sodom's city itself? Well, he knew their wickedness. He had been taught about Jehovah God. He had been taught under Abraham, a man of God. And that within those cities, there were those that dishonored God. We know what the name Sodom means. That's what was practiced in that city. He probably thought something like this: I'll live by close by Sodom because it'll profit me financially. But I may be able to bring some good to Sodom by what I know about God. You ever think some people, you know, some people think like that, don't they? That's the compromise that they make. Well, I can do them some good, but I can also make something out of it. Usually, well, what's the sequel to that? In verse 12, notice he's gotten in the city since. First he pitched his tent. Now we find him dwelling there. If we went to Genesis 19, verse 1, you'll find, if you look in 19, chapter, verse 1, you'll find that he's in the gate of the city. Now what does that mean? In those times when you were in the gate, it meant you were a chief magistrate. That means you were a political leader, possibly even what we would equate to the mayor of the city. my, how well he's gotten on. He's really made a name for himself. He's really gotten along well since he arrived. He's gotten, really gone up in this world. He must have made the right choice, for he has certainly prospered, hasn't he, financially here. But how about poor old Abraham? He's still outside of that city. He's still in his old tent. He has no title or position. But let me ask four questions to see the real result of Lot's choice that day. First question, I want you to just think with me about these questions. First, what has he done for himself? Well, to answer that question, we have to go to the New Testament. The New Testament gives us what really was happening internally to Lot during this period. The Apostle Peter tells us these words, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. It says, Peter vexed his soul. What does that mean? Vexed. It means that he was eaten up internally. He was distressed. He was hurting from day to day to day. And it says he vexed his righteous soul. It means he was, you know, and this is the worst thing. When a person is a believer, you see, it's even worse for a believer. We call it backsliding in this case, that he was a backslider. When a believer backslides and gets away from God and begins to live like a worldling who doesn't even know God, here's the problem. The worldling who doesn't know God can enjoy the money and all that goes sin and sex and everything else. They get some measure of enjoyment out of it. But the Christian who knows the truth and has understood it, does it, and he can do it. The trouble is, you really internally, you externally, you seem like you're getting it and you're having fun of it. But then when nightfall falls and you get into bed, boom, all of what you knew about God comes back. And your soul is vexed. You know you're wrong. You know that what you've done is not right. Not good. Is it worth the money? Is it worth the position to live with no peace, no satisfaction? But through all the years of his success, people were saying, how well Lot is getting on. He's really making it. Wish I could be like Lot. And yet inside, poor old Lot was having none of it. There was no peace, no satisfaction, a vexing of soul. All of his success was a bitter taste in his mouth. Well, what about old Abraham? He pitched his tent somewhere out on the barren plain, built his altar, worshiped God. Bible said he was just nothing but a pilgrim and a stranger. And yet he had peace. He had satisfaction in his heart. He and God were at one with each other. What was that worth? Second question. What has his choice meant for his family? That's always a good question to ask, isn't it? For any person. Let's look ahead at the arrival of those two angels to his home one evening. They came to Lot's home and said, "Hey, we want you to know you're a righteous man. God loves you." Boy, isn't that great to know? That's grace, isn't it? God's grace still reached out to Lot, in spite of himself. They said, "This city's doomed. God's going to visit and rain fire and brimstone down on it. Take your family and get out of here." And the angels warned him, and he said, they asked him about his family in verse 12. And they said, go get your family together. So verse 14. Lot went and spoke to his family about leaving. And what was their response to him? "He was as one mocked." Now one translation said they were laughing at him. Another one said, joked. He was one who joked. They laughed in his face. What a sad commentary. That shows the influence that he had. And this was his sons-in-law. These are his married daughters. These are the flower of his family. And they laughed at him. That was the influence he had on his family. The next morning when he fled the city, and by the way, read carefully the word of God, it says the two angels had to each grab a hand and pull them outside of the city. That's how locked they were into that city. And after they got him outside, they let him go. Now, and I said, flee to the next. So they fled to a little city called Zoar. And he only got two unmarried daughters out and his wife with him. And yet even his wife turned back and left him. So only two daughters, really. He made it in business. But he lost his most precious possession, his family. And being a family man, believe me, am I thankful, a most precious thing ever that I have is I thank God my family is with me. I tell people, you're rich. I see people, even Christian brothers, have trouble with their children. When you don't have that, it takes something out of it, doesn't it? It tears at your soul that your children won't follow. And think of how Lot must have felt. It's a sad thing that Lot had to flee like that. He lost his business. Third thing, what about Sodom? How far has the righteous Lot been able to influence Sodom? Let's see, he was a righteous man. He went down to Sodom and probably thought he could influence them in some way for some good. How far does his influence go? Do you remember the story? You remember when the angels told him they're going to destroy it? He said, "What would you destroy it if there were even 10 people?" You remember that? The Lord said, "Yeah, even 10. You remember he kept going down? The Lord said, "No, yeah." What in the world would people just keep hammering it? Is it an emergency or something?
Probably.
Lacrima's office, that's my gastroenteritis. It must be important to him. Now I think he's reporting on my results of my tests. Maybe they were bad or something. But Think of it. He didn't even have enough influence to influence 10 people. Five people. Not even one. He hadn't led a soul to Christ, Doc. Not one. He had a place of prominence in the gate and had nothing worth affecting anybody. Why couldn't he make any influence on people? Because the men of Sodom knew that he had come there not to influence them, but to gain wealth for himself. They knew that. You know, people know certain things. Just your persona tells something about you. A person who starts out motivated to get wealth paralyzes his power to influence people. Your first concern has to be people, and then your business. I'll never forget, a dentist told me once, my business is to be a witness for Christ, to provide bread for my family. I practice dentistry. And Doc, I sincerely believe that's him right there. I really do. His business was to be a witness for Christ in order to provide bread. He practiced chiropractic, no doubt about that. Jerry McCall, his business was to be a manager of Florida Farm Bureau. But there's a man that's always been a witness for Christ. Yeah. Knowing him, these two men, over 50 years. He had, that dentist had everything in perspective, and these men too. That's when business is put in the right place. How did he influence what did he carry a business out of Sodom? I don't know, but I know this much. Jerry, if he carried his checkbook out of Sodom, it ain't worth a darn, is it? Because the bank burned up back there in Sodom. Every stock market's gone. When he left Sodom, he was the poorest man in his district. And read the whole story. Where did he end up? Did any of you ever see the story at the end of his life? Doc, I know you know. You told me so. But anybody else? Where did Lot with his family end up? Can you think? Where did he live?
In a cave.
Exactly right. He lived in a cave. From the gate of a magistrate to a cave. That's a pretty long shot down, isn't it? That's a real comer. That's a long way down. God knows how to take you down. But in reality, he was richer than he ever was before because God was bringing him down to where he could touch him. I think I'm where I am because God had to bring me down. You know, I see too many preachers who think they're hot shot. God blesses you and you think it's because of you. I got news for you. Yeah. Final question. What's the lessons God wants us to learn? There are still Christians who are pitching their tents towards Sodom.
Yep.
Aren't there? We got to be very careful where we pitch our tents. We got to ask ourselves this question, to those of you who are hearing me. Why am I in business? Is it to make money if I'm a Christian? Well, if that's the reason, what's the difference between your motive and the godless person, the godless man in business? Why do you want to make money? Is it just to increase your status, to enhance your pleasure? Or is it to have a responsibility to the right use of your money for the service of Christ? There's a businessman that was noted in Jersey. He bought 2 yachts, 2 homes, 3 fancy cars, but he gave $25 a week to his church. That's $100 a month for 2 yachts, 2 homes, 3 fancy cars. You think that's very good spiritual stewardship toward God? Is that a faithful tither toward God? Oh, my word, he made money to enhance his pleasure, not God. I'll tell you, it's so sad. Fact is, the scripture clearly says we're to labor in order to make money. And for a lot of years of my life, I didn't realize the scripture says you're not labor to take care of your family. That isn't what the Bible says. Now, the Bible does say that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. Yeah, the Bible says that. But the Bible says you don't labor to take care of your family. You labor to help others. And part of the others is your family. But that your others are not just your family. You see, who's your neighbor, according to Jesus? Anybody in need, amen? Somebody read Genesis 13, 14, and 15, if you would. You notice Abraham let Lot choose, and then God chose for him. And look carefully. Somebody read good and loud so that everybody will hear this. Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. Go ahead. Ted, you got that?
And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see is thine, will I give it to you for a seed forever.
Mm. Hear that? He chose the watered cities of Jordan. He made his choice. He ended up in a cave. Abraham let God make the choice, and he ends up with a hole as far as the land as he could see. Don't you think it's better to let God do it? Let God make the choice. Yeah, watch where you pitch your tent. Leave the choice to God. Because I think he knows things a little bit better than I do. I think he knows the future better than I do. He knows the way. I know this. Huh? That much. Short. God knows the wide, the far, the near. And as long as I wait upon the Lord, he will guide the way. But my trouble in life, I've been too much like Jacob. I was almost ready to talk about, maybe I will talk about Jacob. The reason I have a hard time talking about Jacob, I've been too much like him. You But aren't you glad that God teaches us? He puts these characters in the Bible for a reason, doesn't he? To teach us not only where to go, but what to stay away from. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray.